Now, welcome to Weather and Egg and Focus on this Thursday afternoon, 106.54 right now. Yeah, fun things coming up on the program. If you want to be a part of the conversation today, give us a call, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line. You can always reach us via email as well.
Or you could just call Bridget's personal cell, too.
Already, yeah, that's 701-293-9000.
Already taking messages.
293-9000. You give us a call right now. You won't. Emails, weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Fun stuff coming up on the program today. We got a rundown on your forecast. We got a little update on the LRC. We got a great guest coming on, Angie Johnson, again, from NDSU. I love having Angie on. She's such a great guest.
She's a blast. So, I was gone
She's
one
like
day.
One of those like top five that just like, yeah. It's like, yes.
I was gone one day. Y'all called Angie because we were right at the onset of those wildfires. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like the recap after all of that. And I don't know if Angie has been home since all of this started. I mean, talk about working hard for the Extension Service, for the county agents out there trying to help farmers as much as they can. She's been there.
Well, look at how good we've been doing over here on the eastern half of the state. You know, not a comparison or anything, but we've had such little fire activity with so many days of elevated fire conditions. I mean, people are just being smart out there. And, you know, I think some of it does just come down to good luck and something bad not happening. But, you know, people are being smart about it. And we had that fire earlier today, which is suspected to have been started from a cigarette butt. I mean, come on, people. I told you not to flick them out. Everybody listens to me.
And put out your coals.
You know, honestly,
roll coal. No, don't roll coal.
Don't go roll coal.
No roll coal.
And folks are really being cautious. Williams County, North Dakota, which is out around Williston.
Yeah, what about that? That's something.
So it's they not only have a burn ban, but they have now put out an off-road vehicle ban. So that means if you wanted a soil sample, you can't take your pickup down into the stubble.
You ain't doing it.
Because think about vehicles are hot, right? You've got mufflers, you got catalytic converters.
Depends on who's in them.
And when that happens, you have the potential for starting fires.
Yes.
So they're being really cautious. Yesterday, they had a road grader hit a rock, caused a spark, and then started a fire. So let's avoid
that. Easy, too.
Yeah, that easy.
You know what else is really easy? Is when you hook up a trailer to the back of your truck and that chain comes undone because you didn't put it on there right or you didn't check it.
Mm-hmm.
And you drag that chain down the road and it just rolls coal.
That happened. Yes. North of Grand Forks. Was that 3 years ago?
I think now it was 5 years
ago.
It's
been a while.
But yeah, it was I-29, 13 miles?
Yep, it burned quite a lot.
Burnt 13 miles of I-29 on the, I think it was the east side of the highway.
Yep.
Or interstate, sorry, folks.
Interstate.
Yep. Interstate.
That stuff happens.
Yeah,
so
all the time.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, you for sure do.
So, didn't you say there was a chance of rain this weekend?
A chance for rain tomorrow.
Little chance, big chance?
Good chance it's going to rain.
Everywhere?
But just about everywhere.
But not a lot.
For some folks.
Just slightly damp.
Well,
10th of an inch.
Oh, some spots will get even less than that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, thanks.
There'll be
isn't he Mr. Positive?
I think a quarter inch is about as most that you'll get out
no
of
No one's
tomorrow.
Getting a quarter.
Speaking of forecast, which we will want to get to today's forecast, we had a request from one of our farmers in Western Cass County out near Absaraka said, what's the weather going, what is the weather, temperatures, et cetera, for next weekend? Because they have a haunted house, et cetera, out there, and they want to make sure that the weather was good.
Right now, it looks like a cold front will be coming through next weekend, but that will change.
But it'll either come through Saturday or it'll come through Saturday night.
Define cold front. Am I talking 30-degree coveralls, or am I going to be wearing a flannel shirt?
We're talking like 70 to 50.
Yeah.
Okay, 70 to 50. That's
depending on when that front comes through. So it'll either be dropping into the 60s, 50s on Saturday, or it'll be in the 70s, dropping to the 60s and 50s by Sunday.
Reasonable. I don't have to get my coveralls out yet.
And then it'll snow.
Don't say that.
Before
somewhere.
Long.
Get out of somewhere. I'll leave. You know, get out of here. I'm leaving. Bye.
Y'all said beginning of December.
Yeah.
You were talking like the 10th. We'd probably have measurable
Swift
snowfall.
About that.
That's right. That's what Justin did. We'll have to hold him to that.
You hold me to it. You watch me be right again, by the way.
Again.
I'm right all that. I think
do you tell your wife that, too?
I think I'm 3 for 3 when it comes to snowfall forecasts.
Do you tell your wife that you're always right?
No, I tell her that she's always right.
See,
I'm always
smart
wrong.
There. You're really smart there.
Even when I am right, magically, I'm wrong.
It's magically.
I don't know. It's just magic. It's like that coffee table I have. It doesn't matter how much crap I put on it. It is gone and clean the next day. Every night, it's just disappears. It's clean.
It's the cleaning fairy.
Dude, sometimes I just try and see how much stuff I can put on it.
Just
to see
if
the and cleaning it's gone fairy- and clean the next day.
The more kids you have, the more that magic coffee table doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's all in correlation.
One so far. One.
So far.
One.
Just a thought.
Just one.
Okay.
Doing good so far. All right.
About that weather.
What about it?
What's happening
Where's
with
my
it?
Rain, Dean?
Yeah,
it sounds like just a metal forecast, in my opinion.
There's a little bit of rain in the forecast. Not a whole lot, but...
Well, considering that we haven't had rain in like 45 days.
Now, we had
besides
some,
a few sprinkles.
We had a few light sprinkles in South Fargo the other night, so... But it's been...
And it measured zero.
It did at the airport, I know. We have a dry day today and a windy one. We have winds gusting up to and just a little bit over 40 miles an hour out of the south. A lot of sunshine. Currently temperatures in the 60s. Should warm up into the low to mid 70s today. Well above normal. If you're wondering what the record is today, it's 90. So we're not going to threaten that. Yeah. And then tonight we'll see the clouds increase, mid-upper 40s, and then the winds shift to the north tomorrow, 10 to 20, a lot of clouds. And we'll see some light showers come in as we head into the afternoon and overnight hours with highs tomorrow in the 50s. So
really?
A little bit cooler.
Wow, look at that.
Those showers come to an end tomorrow night, and then Saturday we'll start off cloudy and then see a decrease in clouds in the afternoon or late in the afternoon. Highs on Saturday close to 60. Good tailgating weather on Saturday, a light north breeze. About 10 to 20. That's light compared to what we got out now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, the sun comes back out. We should warm back up into the 70s on Sunday with a little breeze out of the west, southwest. So not a bad looking weekend. And again, a little bit of rain coming in here tomorrow and to tomorrow night, but not a lot. About a tenth of an inch. Some spots could pick up 0.2, but about a tenth of an inch is about it.
We just got a message from a grain cart driver down by Watertown, South Dakota, who said, please rain. Please send us rain.
Yeah. Please rain.
People are asking kindly.
Where's my rain, Dean?
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry, Parker.
Well, it's all, I mean, the reason is all the windmills that we have out there and the chemtrail spraying that we're not getting,
windmills.
That we're not getting the rain. I mean, so we got to quit spraying. You'd think with all the spraying that they've been doing, have more rain.
All I hear is Charlie Brown's teacher in my head. Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
That's better.
All right, continue.
No.
So the reason that we've been
this just
dry.
Makes it more fitting, though.
No.
Do, 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 do.
If you start boom. Skipping around the desk, that would
I just
make
about
it more
started
fitting.
Skipping. I was like ready to go.
Don't trip over your chair.
You sure?
Well, we've got a well-known guest coming on our show today.
We did. Justin made mention of Angie. Angie Johnson will be with us today. A little bit of an update on what's going on in Western North Dakota will be excellent hearing from Angie. But also, as far as other things that are going on right now, we have had a report of anthrax in Western North Dakota. That was in Adams County. That was found in some beef animals that went to a sale barn in South Dakota, and that's where
good.
It was detected.
Ooh.
So anthrax is one thing that vets don't mess around with. When I talked about it earlier this morning, somebody said, what's the symptomology? Usually the symptomology is death.
Not good.
Not good.
No, bad.
But there's some things we should know. This is never the same as if you were worried about anthrax, that could be biological warfare. It's not the same. This is a bacterial infection or a bacteria that stays dormant in the soil until you get heavy rain, flooding, or drought. So it's something that's going to mobilize those spores. When that happens, the animals will become infected because they're grazing, they're eating forages that could be carrying anthrax spores, or they're drinking water. So it's not like it's a respiratory. It's not like bird flu and dairy animals. It's not moving back and forth between them. It's not going to be a spread to humans. We see anthrax cases pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
It could be cattle. It could be bison, sheep, horses, and farmed elk or deer.
Mm.
So anthrax is not uncommon, but it's also not a reason to panic. You can get a vaccine. If you feel that you want to vaccinate, you need to wait about a week before you'll see positive advances in your herd. So it's not a fast-acting situation. So anthrax, Western North Dakota. Not unusual.
Ma'am. Mm-hmm.
We will have Dr. Emily Fox with us one day next week, and she'll talk more about it.
Oh, there you go.
Yet another. We have a long list of favorite guests because some are just, they're just great.
They are great.
You ask a question and boom, there we go.
You never know what's going to be said next.
No. In fact, that was one of yesterday's guest's comments was, we don't really always know where things are going to go, usually with someone like Dr. Emily.
No.
That's... It could go off the rails.
There's a few times where I'm like, I got this big red button to my right, and I'm like, I think that this is okay, but I have to think about this.
She's extremely factual. She's talking about livestock, and you know, we're using terms not because you know we're talking dirty, but we're being in reference to real animals.
Straight up anatomy references,
and she shows up with like specimens in jars on our live stream.
These are like. You know, words you can't just say, but if it's in reference to
then you can.
Specific anatomy, then you're
on a bull
because you can talk about it.
So yeah, that was a bull. Again, that was one of my very, very favorite days that will go down in show history.
I just remember I saw some people's looks out there and they're like, what are they? What?
And they
I'm not pushing the red button on that.
Let her go.
Yep, we're just gonna.
It was good.
Let her buck.
Oh, excellent. All right, so we will probably jump into a little bit of news update.
Yeah, the Ag Network. And it's coming up next
when we come back from that, and we'll have Angie Johnson from NDSU joining us, Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist. All right, coming in, sliding her sideways right to the start for Weather and Ag in Focus, and. A big thank you today to Red River Retention Authority. Brian Feuder has been a guest for us many times talking about all the dam rehabilitation they've done. I thought Justin was going to interject on that one. And just overall the dam work that they do in the region. Mm. And without the rainfall that you guys are giving them, they've gotten a lot more done this fall.
I bet.
Yeah.
I think so. And then also to Gowan Company. Marcia Van Leer has made sure that we had a Fiance fungicide that's two modes of fungicide action in our cornfield. Also, we used it last year in our soybeans. Very thankful for Gowan and all of their chemistry solutions that we can use in the field. They brought back one of our old favorites in the industry, and that's Sonalan. And we're still using Sonalan for kochia control, pigweed, lamb's quarter, wild oats. I always said it took care of all the animals, so if you listen to that list. Pigweed, lamb's quarter, foxtail, et cetera. And also, we get to kind of have a refresher with Angie Johnson. Uh-huh. She is NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist.
Sometimes you need refreshers.
Well, there's been a lot that happened since Angie was on last.
Good catch up.
Yes. So, Angie, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. After listening to you guys, much better. So thanks for the laughs.
We're comedy relief some days.
That's right. You should see our dinner show. So
Fun times.
So Angie and I have had a chance to talk a little bit since the last time you were on air with everybody, and a lot has happened in Western North Dakota. So from NDSU Extension standpoint, what's been going on? What are you guys able to do? I mean, where would you like to start? There's a lot of room here.
Yeah, there's a lot of room. I'm more than happy to talk a little bit about, you know, where we're at now, you know, being a week later, once the fires, we are near containment with the Bear Den fire. So that's really exciting. The Elkhorn fire is 100% contained. So we're moving forward. It's pretty exciting to be at that point. But we're still, this isn't over. And, you know, something that Bridget, you and I have talked about is this could happen anywhere at any point in our state just because of the conditions we're in right now, the high fire warning risks we're in. And so right now, from NDSU Extension's perspective, continuing to focus on prevention, right? So not only working with our agriculture community, you know, harvest is in full swing and providing, you know, fire prevention awareness to those folks, but also, you know, hunting season just opened up last week for pheasant and deer is knocking on the door. And so just making sure that folks for recreation purposes and hunting purposes are being mindful and respectful to the property that they're utilizing for fun. And we want them to enjoy that, but just making sure we're being very, very careful and cautious with conditions right now.
I don't think we can overemphasize that. And like you said, that can happen anywhere in the state. It's not just going to be, you know, relegated to Western North Dakota.
Right. Well, I mean, it almost started here this morning.
Right.
We had a fire just south of town. Cigarette butt.
Let's be careful.
Come on, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take much. I mean, that's just getting people to really understand and realize that it's not just one audience, right? So we, you know, we talk ag, we talk hunting, recreation, but it's everybody. It's, you know, get those chain. If you're pulling a trailer, make sure your chain, your safety chains are hooked up and make sure they're not dragging, because a simple, if they're dragging along interstate, that can easily cause sparks that catch the side of the road. And pretty soon we've got a fire that can go out of control quickly. So I think everybody's got a role, and I try to remain optimistic, right? We have to, and that we all have a piece in this game, and we can do our part to protect people and property.
Go ahead, Dean.
Okay, Angie, you know, harvest is well underway, and what's your biggest, you know, our farmers, they're tired, you know, they've been putting in some long hours lately. What's your biggest concern this time of the year that our farmers should kind of look out for or pay more attention to?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to stick in the conversation, keep up with fire, right? And so right. This week's crop progress report just came out, and it said North Dakota is about 10% into sunflower harvest. So literally just getting started, just getting rolling. And sunflower harvest concerns me just because sunflowers are a huge fire risk when it comes to combines. When you start harvesting them, if you've ever watched a sunflower stock just explode, it just turns into such fine dust particles that it doesn't take much for that particulate matter to accumulate in the exhaust system. And over time, if you get enough of that collected, it can just ignite. South Dakota State has done a lot of research on that, and the risk of the risk of combine fires due to combining sunflowers is much, much higher than our other crops. And so that's going to be a huge step for those folks that do have sunflowers to harvest, is they just got to be diligent. Watch your temperature gauges. If things start to go up, that should be a red flag warning that something's just not right on the machine, and take time to blow it off often, not just at the end of the day.
So along those lines of harvesters, there was a picture a lot of us saw on Twitter yesterday. There were 5 cotton pickers that were down in Mississippi that had been lined up at the end of the field where they'd already stripped the cotton off. But with cotton pickers, it's almost like having a dryer out there, right? You've got all that fine cotton lint that mm-hmm. builds up on those machines. And they actually come, you can retrofit a fire suppression system on those machines because they are so usually flammable. But we want to remember this too. When you get to the end of the field and you park everything close together and one of those machines is warm and that lint lights up, it burned all 5 machines on that field.
Oh,
it just
wow.
went from machine to machine. So when you bring equipment in, blow it off, get rid of the dust. Don't park it in your sheds.
Out.
Spread it out. So...
Yeah, don't park it in that shed. You could lose it. I mean, it doesn't take much, and pretty soon you've lost your entire shed, your Quonset, wherever you had parked that machine. So that's an excellent point to bring up.
Right. What about in terms of grain bins? You know, we're filling those up as well with different crops, and there seems to be always a grain bin-related death or accident every single year. What kind of safety tips or recommendations do you have in reference to those?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we definitely don't want to forget grain bin safety. I will say, because you always have to just look on the positive side, right? So this year with dry harvest conditions, our grain has dried down tremendously. I mean, there's reports where soybeans have almost dried down too much. So they're starting to split or crack or break, however you want to call it. And our corn is coming off the field very, very dry. And so that to me is a huge positive, because that means we're going to get it stored at the correct moisture level for, you know, some long-term storage in a bin, which then helps prevent grain bins from, you know, the slang word we use is going bad, right? So when a bin goes bad, typically that means that grain has become out of condition because it's, you know, high moisture, develops mold, and then you get all sorts of problems, which pretty much end up leading to someone making the choice to go inside that bin and try and break up the crusts and chunks that develop because it's out of condition, because it's so high in moisture and mold content. And so I'm pretty optimistic if growers keep an eye on that product throughout the storage season, since it's going in so dry, that gives me a lot of hope that grain is going to be able to stay dry throughout storage, so we don't have to go inside that bin to be poking around and, you know, trying to break crusts, because they shouldn't be, you know, developing in the first place. So, but regardless, if you do have to go inside a bin, step one is you got to have a plan. Don't go in there without any type of plan in terms of, you know, how are you going to go in? Who knows you're going in? You know, why are you going in? Just different questions you need to ask yourself. Because the reality is most cases, if you're going in to try and break up a crust or a bridge, you don't successfully leave. And so just making sure you start with that plan, whether that's a lifeline, a harness system, you know, and even fall prevention. So making that investment for a spiral staircase system versus that fixed ladder, you know, a lot of grain bin fatalities or injuries happen due to people simply falling from the bin. So climbing that ladder and slipping. And those are things we don't think about because, you know, they don't make the news. So we're just not aware that they happen, but they happen every year all throughout the season. So those are some of the key pieces I like to remind folks when it comes to grain bin safety.
Mm-hmm. There'll be some more. And I think when we come back from our bottom of the hour news break, Angie, some of the things we might want to touch on as well, live PTOs, because we're seeing a lot of augers being used, whether they're swing augers, you know, augers in the bottom of a bin, so that everyone's being careful around those. We're tired. Harvest has been going on for a while. Don't let that get you hurt. And then additionally, livestock. We're moving a lot of cattle home from pasture. So we'll touch on that when we return with Angie Johnson of NDSU.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. If you're wondering, that's what a screaming frog sounds like. 135-35 right now, and we're rejoining our conversation with Angie Johnson from NDSU, Farm and Safety Specialist. And if you want to join in our conversation, ask a question, or you know, just make a point, 701-293-9000. That's our personal phone line. If you want to give us a jingle, you're more than welcome to.
Red Wing Shoes.
And it's brought to you by Red Wing Shoes.
Or you could text Bridget with any questions.
Yeah. I tend to get some of those. Yeah,
occasionally. Angie, you know, I wanted to ask you a few questions about PTOs and augers. And I know that there's a big, you know, when a PTO is running or an auger is running, and I like to think of this like a snow blower, because it's the same concept. There's an auger in there that's twisting and turning, and you hit the dog leash because you forgot where it was, and the snow blower shuts off. You don't go jamming your hands in the stupid auger trying to free the leash on there, because there is so much tension behind that auger on the PTO that as soon as you clear whatever is jamming that, it's going to recoil and turn over and it's going to rip your arm off. I don't want to ask how often that happens, but how realistic of an issue is that?
Very real. Yeah. And so typically, you know, when we're looking at auger injuries, so from the medical side, it's actually called degloving. So, you know, think of your hand, and if that goes through the auger system, it's completely degloving or removing that skin layer and tendon and muscle layer. It's serious.
It's nasty. And
it's gross.
It's horrible. It is not a way that I would want my worst enemy to, not that I have any, but I mean, I hope, but that's not how I would ever, ever want anybody to go through something like that. And so, you know, thinking about how fast these mechanisms turn. So Bridget earlier had mentioned PTO, so power takeoff, right? So that's what provides power from the tractor to whatever implement you're operating. And so, you know, we've got two different types of PTOs, the 1000 shaft and the 540 shaft. And those numbers simply mean how many revolutions per minute that shaft is spinning. So, you know, when you think about these large implements that have 1,000 shaft PTO, they're spinning at 1,000 revolutions per minute, which ends up being about 16 revolutions per second. And I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how big you are. If you get caught in one of those rotating shafts, you are not going to be able to react fast enough to get your arm, your leg, your hair, whatever that is. You're not going to be able to react fast enough to get pulled out.
So since we're speaking of this, this just came to mind because I saw a video of something similar that pulled up, and they were referencing wood chippers, but nonetheless, it's the same thing. We have something that's spinning very quickly, and they were just demonstrating how fast you can get pulled inside of one of these pieces of equipment. And they had a rope that was obviously tied to a dummy. And then the rope was hooked on a branch and it got thrown into the whatever to resemble, you know, like a raptor on your leg. And this dude went from about, well, this dummy, this stuffed dummy, went from 50 to 70 feet away from this wood chipper into the wood chipper in about 1 second.
Yes.
Just ripped the 180-pound crash test dummy in 1 second, 70 feet into a wood chipper.
And that's the kind of strength that that equipment has. You know, everybody has got a near miss farm story. And a lot of times that it relates back to PTOs. And so the long days we've been having, everybody's tired. We're unloading in bins at the farm site or the bin sites. We just have to remember to stay alert, to not let, you know, silliness catch us. Mm-hmm. Don't put your hand there. Make sure the guards stay on those PTO shafts. All of those types of things. Loose clothing. You know, if you have a bolt on, you know, somewhere on that shaft that maybe has unwound itself slightly and that hooks on your clothes, that will strip you down in about 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
This time of year when we have, you know, really cool temperatures in the mornings and then cool off, you know, everybody throws on a sweatshirt, everybody throws on a hoodie. Well, you think about that hoodie, what are those two lovely drawstrings hanging, you know?
Yeah,
and so
neck.
We talk about that a lot, is pull those drawstrings out, because if you are, if you're working over a piece of equipment and those strings are hanging, it doesn't take much for those to catch. And always, always, always shut that machine down. You know, earlier you talked about getting that dog leash out of the snowblower. Shut that machine down before you ever consider getting that unclogged or unplugged. And no different with the tractor. Get that piece of equipment off. It only takes seconds. I promise you, it should start back up again. You know, just shut it down so
disengage,
then you can safely work
the PTO.
On it. Exactly.
You were mentioning degloving. You know, in terms of getting things stuck in machines and whatnot, where it, you know, it pulls the skin right off your hand or your arm or whatever it is. This is something I learned about when I actually first got married and we were looking at finding rings. In terms of accidents and prevented stuff with jewelry on the farm and equipment, you can get your rings hooked on things and those can get ripped off your fingers as well.
Oh, there are so many stories. If you ever noticed, lots of more experienced farmers might be missing a finger, especially that ring finger, because prior to having a lot of these roll tarps, we all had tarps with tarp straps on them, and they had S-hooks on the end.
Uh-huh.
And it was very common for you to crawl up on the side of your truck, mm-hmm. roll your tarp, and when you jumped down, your hand got caught on the box or it got caught on the tarp straps.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a lot of that. The other thing is rings now, you know, folks are getting
the silicone.
They're getting titanium and whatnot. And you're right. The silicone is a great way to go because
I love mine.
It's stretchy. Bad things don't necessarily happen.
It snaps.
But if you, let's say you're wearing your wedding ring, mm-hmm. and you're in the shop and you're working on something on your engine and you accidentally put a metal wrench and it touches a, you know, something that's going to be hot under the hood, right? Whether it's battery cables, et cetera. That gold ring is a wonderful conductor of heat. Now you have a burn there and your finger swells and you can't pull the ring off, but they also can't just cut that ring like with a Dremel tool or anything like that. They literally have to take your finger to an anvil and smash it to try to smash your ring apart. So now you have a broken and burned finger. So the silicone rings are a great plan.
Doesn't that sound great?
No, it's I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's one of the things we talk about at Youth Farm Safety Camp is jewelry, whether that's rings, earrings, and then as well as hair. You know, not you know, we think that's just a gal problem, right? Having long hair, but guys have long hair too, and so making sure you get that pulled back, because it does not take much for hair to get caught or wrapped into something quickly, and you just can't react fast enough to make it stop.
I have a Twitter friend from Iowa. She worked at a local fertilizer co-op, and during a rainy spell, they were greasing and maintaining equipment. She was underneath a truck, and doing some work, but they had the drive train spinning.
Oh no!
And
oh, no.
She didn't pay enough attention when she sort of sat up, and that grabbed that top knot of hair, that bun on the top of her head, and completely scalped her.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's the things you don't think about that will get you. That's why we talk with Angie, because you know, we want to bring awareness.
That actually happened at a shop class in high school.
Ooh.
That I was in.
Bad day.
Where a girl's hair got
caught
while she wasn't wearing it in a ponytail, and it got caught in one of the drill bits. And it ripped a good, probably
bald
tennis ball size spot out of her hair. I mean, lucky. I mean, it could have been way worse. But she just lost her hair.
I just got a text message that says from a listener, I dropped my engagement ring in hydraulic oil while I was in college, and it took the finish right off the ring. So there's a lot of things that we work with that. Again, we're just here to bring you a little awareness. Friendly reminders. Livestock.
Lose an arm.
Angie, we got a lot of cattle that are going to be on the move here pretty quick, moving from summer pastures back home to feedlots and dry lots, etc. Some caution for folks there, whether you're the motorist who might be seeing them moving in the ditch, or you're the person on horseback, ATVs, etc., moving them. Some suggestions you might have.
Yeah, there's a lot. We actually just weaned our calves last weekend, and yep, it's a really good reminder. Calves kick, and they kick quickly and fast and without warning. And so just being mindful and understanding animal behavior. I didn't get kicked. None of us did. That was a good day. That's a good sign of a good day. But just making sure that when you are working with those animals, understanding their behavior is key, right? So don't push them. Because when you start stressing them out, that's when they're going to make really dumb decisions and try to run through things or run through people. So being very safe when you're working with them. And I can't stress enough, you know, we've really transitioned as a society. We use ATVs and side-by-sides instead of horseback. I mean, there will always be folks using horse to round up cattle. But, you know, it has changed. It shifted. And so when you are driving in those rough pastures, please slow down and be aware. You're going to hit a rock. You're going to hit rough terrain. I mean, that's why it's a pasture in the first place. And so be very, very careful and think safety when you're driving those machines, because all it takes is hitting one rut and you're going to be launched airborne. Mm-hmm. And I can't stress enough, you only get one brain in life. And so if you're not protecting it with some type of helmet or wearing your seatbelt when you're in that side-by-side, those are a couple simple things you can do. I know it's not sexy, and I know it feels like it slows us down, but man, I sure want to keep my brain for as long as I can. And so if we can help people and just remind them that it's not about looking good, it's about being smart and being safe to live another day.
Angie, we have a comment from one of our listeners who said, it's really good to have someone or several people on your crew trained in first aid or during harvest or just working around the shop. And also, NASU does a great job of helping you put together a first aid kit that you could have in those scenarios too.
Absolutely. I think that's great. So what that person brings up is communication too, right? So farming and ranching, it should be a team sport. I know how isolating it can feel, and the rough days are, trust me, they're rough. But when you communicate and work together as a team, that's when we can watch out for each other, be smart, make smart decisions, and be prepared. Being prepared for those situations, like you said, having a first aid kit or just simply knowing where the fire extinguisher is and if it's ready to be used, those are huge. So I'm really glad that listener brought up that point, because we can't stress communication enough.
Well, that's why we have you. We make sure that everybody's well aware, and we thank you for that, Angie. So any last thoughts that you want for people to reach out, find you, how to get a hold of their county agents, anything like that that you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. As always, like Bridget said, you know, please reach out to your local county extension office. These are amazing individuals that they are there to help. And so if you've never had a chance to meet your county agent, I really encourage you, look them up, search NDSU Extension and type in whatever county you're from and get connected with them, because they're great people that are going to lead you to great resources and programs. And also, everybody, just please be safe. I feel like I'm a broken record. I feel bad being all doom and gloom all the time.
It's got to be talked about.
I do. But I just, you know, you guys talked about how stressed everyone is,
yes,
whether that's with the markets, whether that's just pure exhaustion. You guys, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And
Angie Farms, by the way.
and so recognizing that, right? I think step one is just being honest with ourselves and saying, you know what, I am freaking tired, and that's okay. And so now that I've owned it, what do I do about it? And our actions are what help us survive, thrive, and keep going. So everybody out there, please take care of yourselves. On the plus side, we haven't, you know, we need rain, but also it's helped us keep harvest going.
Sure.
And so we've got a lot of good quality crops in the bin already, and we're moving forward. So just take time for yourself and be safe out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Angie. Last comment from one of our listeners was that back when he had long hair, he said he was underneath a truck on a creeper and got his hair caught in the creeper and had to stay there for a little while. So
ouch.
Keep that in mind. And
see, again, I don't have to worry about that.
You're going to be fine. So thank you, Angie. And folks, we're going to be right back. We'll wrap up headlines and weather after this.
All right. Welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus. 153 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the mid 60s. Should poke into the low 70s today.
Want to hear a random animal?
We were hoping for mid 70s, but I don't think we're going to get there. But low 70s this time of the year. No complaints. Just a little bit on the windy side. So, wanted to take this, what do we have, five?
We got a few moments.
5 minutes left.
Yeah, something like that.
We have somebody that's among us that doesn't want to work with us anymore, Bridget.
Must be the tiny mascot here, Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper's had enough.
He says, if you people won't actually brush my hair, that I've had it.
That was Cooper. He's had enough.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to Justin.
You're thanking me?
Yes.
This won't happen often. Rest in peace, headphone users. Wow.
I'm sorry.
Justin is leaving us to take on other ventures. And
yes,
I'll tell you what, I've worked with a lot of meteorologists over the years. A lot of young ones. A lot of bad young ones and a lot of good young ones.
Yeah. A lot of really bad people out there. Hey, aren't you supposed to be thanking me?
I can't tell if I'm going to spit out my iced tea or I need a tissue. Could somebody help me out here?
What are we doing?
I don't have any sob music here.
He might have to adjust his hat. Justin, hands down, is the best young meteorologist I've worked with. I remember back at the building downtown when we were down there, and I was teaching Justin about the LRC. You know, here's how it works. And Justin would take, he'd print up our whole, inside of our whole office was he taped maps up on the wall.
I like that.
To do comparisons. And he's got such a bright future.
Well, first of all, named Justin Storm, you had no choice but to be a
meteorologist,
right? Yeah. The mom and dad decided that for you right there at the hospital.
But seriously, I want to thank you, Justin. You are... Shoot, I'm going to...
Dean's not going to be
don't
okay.
Don't cry, Dean.
You're one of the best.
Yeah. Oh,
serious.
Thanks, man.
We are going to miss you tremendously here. You have more talent than you actually know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, best of luck in your new venture. Your last day is tomorrow, but I'll be in the hospital. Hopefully, I get out of the hospital tomorrow, so I won't see you. So I wanted to give you the kudos today.
This is our last show together.
This is our last show together.
This is actually our last... This is our last... exchange of words on the radio.
Will there be hugs?
Don't drop together. Don't drop any F-bombs.
Hugs?
I'm unfiltered, man. What are they going to do?
What are they going to do? Fire yet? No, but
I'm a liability at this point.
Oh, man, right?
Live
this
wire.
Red button? Yeah, it's broken for some reason. I don't know what's going on with it.
Thank you seriously for all the hard work you put in almost 4 years.
Yeah.
You are one of the best. Your future is bright, and maybe we'll work again together down the road with Gary's company. Who knows?
It's always a possibility
for sure. So, I mean, the LRC is taking off, and you've got that. He's one of the only, handful of 10 meteorologists in the country?
Like the eighth or ninth in
certified.
The country that's certified.
Certified to use the LRC. So, again, that's not easy to pick up. It's not easy to learn. You did it in a year. And, like I said, I've worked with a lot of talented young meteorologists, and you are hands down the best.
Well, I appreciate it. I know you're going to continue to use the LRC here and do a great job with the weather, but if anyone wants to follow along, I will continue doing a little broadcast independently through social media, so you can follow my Facebook page. That's just Meteorologist Justin Storm.
I already do.
And you do. I see you. Mm-hmm. You're one of the few that hit that like button. No, there's everybody hits the like button. But you can continue to watch that. I'll be doing periodic, when there's big stuff coming through, I'm still going to be on there. I'll give you my thoughts on it and LRC updates, as well as Dean is going to continue to do here.
Well, this is a love-hate for me, because I have loved working with you, and I hate that you're leaving me alone with Dean now. So it's like one of those duels, who survives in the end.
Are we going to start hearing a little bit more of the...
No.
Yes, Steve, now that Justin is leaving, I'm in control of the board, so we will be having
wiping that clear tomorrow.
I got a feeling that this little soundboard's just going to disappear here soon.
Soundboard, never heard of her. But I will be here with Justin tomorrow.
She sounds pretty.
Yeah, Justin's last day is tomorrow. You can send your GoFundMe money to Justin's. Okay, you still have through tomorrow, so.
Yeah, you still got through tomorrow to get me, and... yeah, it's be fun. I'm gonna miss it for sure. I'm gonna miss you guys a lot doing the show, all the Here We Grow stuff.
The hour that we spent here has always been really good. And we'll continue to do things, but it will be different.
The show's gonna be a little bit more of this. And with that, we bid you adieu.
There we go.
Me and Bridget are back tomorrow for my last day.
We got a short fill-in for tomorrow.
Do we?
My nephew's going to join us. So
really?
He's about the same height as Dean. He's 9.
Oh, I'm out of here. I don't need this abuse. Man.
Anyways, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a great day. Bye.